The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Hello, welcome to the Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob. I'm joined by my co-host, Owen, for the Age of Sigmar Stats Shirt Centre. Welcome to the show. Owen, how are you?
I'm great, yeah. I had to remind myself it was Monday today, you know, when you're in that Christmas vibe and every day.
You've got no idea
just
what day it is. Yeah, it's just
festive day. So, I was like, I actually arranged a game for this morning. And then I had to cancel it because I was like, fuck, I've got to do some work for this show. So I'm actually playing Stuart the Gutsman after this.
Nice.
In a couple of hours, we're going to throw down. I'm going to feel the wrath of his guts. So yeah, I'm good. I'm excited.
What are you playing with?
I'm not sure yet. I might play with Sylvaneth. Sure. I'm feeling like the King of Warhammer because I won one game with them last week. So I'm like, yes, I'll take on all comers. Let's go with my nine hunters.
Well, yeah, Scott B says I'm alive. I just want to give it to what day it is. Yes, it is Monday. Congratulations, everyone, which means we will be live tonight for the Honest Wargamer Monday show. We'll be doing a review of 2020. So it'll be bleak and I think full of Tiger King memes. I'm not sure, but I'm looking forward to it. But me and Owen, no events obviously happening over the Christmas period, but some events that have occurred before and some to come is what we're going to do. And we're also going to do something new. We've never done this before, so this is our first crack at it. We are going to do our 2020... We're going to do an award ceremony. Not quite as pomp as the App Award. Those guys, too fancy, really. But we're going to give out some of our top picks from the year 2020 for like command traits, spells, etc., etc. So start writing yourself some stuff in your list now, and I'd like to know what you guys think. I'll give you the categories, actually, if you guys want to start writing them at home for yourselves or while you're watching live. So it's our top army list, our top command abilities, our top spells, command traits, artifacts, and war scroll abilities. So those are what we've chosen. So get your eye on the prize for those. Owen, have you been keeping okay? You good? You're good?
Yeah, just, you know, keeping all the doors and windows locked, keeping the cold out, having the fire on, eating lots of food. Yeah, it's been nice watching some films, just being pretty damn festive. Did a bit of hobby, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. What hobby did you do? Well, I've got loads of stuff that just needs building and painting, so I thought, don't buy any more. So I'm building some more Mortec Guard with spears,
nice.
Baby.
40 with spears?
What world are you in? In Petrifex, I'm thinking.
Ooh.
Plus one attack, fighting in three ranks.
Plus one
rank. They look rad with spears. They look so much better with spears than with swords. So I thought,
you never see them with spears, do you?
No. I think JP used to run 20 spears, 20 swords, but it was kind of like, this is what I've got. Whereas I actually think if you're taking a 40 block, fighting in those ranks, they're easier to free if they get tagged. So, yeah, Anna and I have been sat on the kitchen table and she's been doing a bit of her craft. We've been having, right, Rob, my brother came up with this today, Crafternoons.
Nice. Crafternoons are a great little hobby. Yeah. Doing a bit of a crafternoon. Yeah,
exactly. So she's been cutting out little bits of Japanese paper and making bunting. And I've been creating unkillable death warriors. So, yeah, it's been a great time. It's been had by all.
Basically the same, to be honest.
Yeah. How about you? Well, you good? You happy?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. I feel a bit rested after the Christmas period. The Christmas period is a bit long. Still felt quite tired yesterday, but I think I'm back on form today. Very excited for two shows today. Love this show on a Monday. Love Monday's show. We're moving into Tuesday, so excited about that. So, yeah, generally all hype. I printed out two buildings. That's fun. Got some more on the go. Doing some hobby as well. So planning some stuff for next year. Generally very exciting times. So, you know, just ticking stuff over. So, yeah, really happy. Love what I do for work. So, basically the happiest I can be.
High-five each other through the screen? Let's just do
Bosh.
That. Yeah, love it.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see other people, anyone.
Yeah.
So let's go. Let's talk about this. So what we got in the pipeline, Owen?
Well, I got I was chatting earlier to a couple of people on Discord, and they said, "Oh, you know, if you haven't got any events to talk about necessarily, then there was one that happened on the 13th of December, which we haven't talked about, still relevant, sort of in real life." So I know that we've got quite a few bits to talk about with our sort of end of year stuff. So I'll just skim over a few things. I've got one to talk about, and then a couple of upcoming events to talk about. So
did I say thank you to Winner Dave for subscribing? I think I did, but I just want to say thanks again. Thanks again. Sorry, Owen, you carry on. I'm just...
Oh, you're good. You're good. So I'm going to just share my screen, if that works for you.
Yes. You can show it to me, but I don't know if I can show it to the screen. To the screen? Yeah, try that. Show it to me, and then I'll do some stuff.
It's just a Word document with some lists on it. I'm not sure if
I can do this. I can do this. 1 second.
So yeah, I'll ramble, which is one of my special skills. So this was in a place called Geelong, which is near Melbourne, just round the bay from Melbourne. It's on the 13th December, 2020 player event. Mixture, quite a lot of usual. Lot of destruction. I think those Aussie war gamers, they really do love a destruction list. So 20 players, and just to give you the results, in first place was a gentleman Tyson Gleason with a Seraphon Fangs of Sotek list. Very much what you'd expect to see: 80 skinks, 2 star priests, 2 skink priests, croak, an astrolith, and 3 salamanders with some bound spells. So basically, you know, pretty much, we'll cover it later, I'm sure, but pretty much one of the lists of 2020.
Yeah.
In second place, I think he must get a mention in every show as we go through, but Stuart McCowan with his Winterbite Ogres, 20 Iron Guts. This is the kind of classic one, so the Fire Belly with the spell. Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, so I won't. But then in third place, Michael Clark with the Sons of Bayomat list.
Trying to make me look bad, isn't he?
Take a Tribe. He's got a Kraken Eater Mega Gargant with the strong right foot. So he's got the 3d6 kick. He's got the special sandals that do lots of damage.
-3 damage 3 on the Kraken damage sandals.
Damage flat 3, yeah, and an extra attack as well. So pretty spicy. 2 gate breakers and then a unit of 3 man crushers. So it's
Sorry, go on, you go.
No, please tell me.
I was just going to say it's interesting the inclusion of the gate breakers, because actually, initially, they don't seem to bring anything. Like, you feel like you're going to go for stompers because you want all the extra damage, right? So then, obviously, you look at the war stomper, but then ultimately, no one takes that because it lends the least. So most people go taker to try and win the events. But then you think, okay, well, the gate breakers literally bring nothing to the whole fucking conversation, apart from actually, there's the guys with the most output. Which is why you see them in there. They've got significant output compared to everything else in the book. And it doesn't really degrade as time goes on. So you do have to do all the damage, otherwise you're taking a big slap back every time. So it's kind of interesting because you want to get rid of the Kraken Eater maybe, or the Man Crushers. But the first 2 threats that you deal with are the 2 things that are least important in the list, ultimately. Yeah. So it's quite interesting because you see Gatebreakers in most of the lists now, I think.
Yeah, I think that that nice shot that they've got, that flat damage 4 shot, is really nice for picking off, helping to pick off heroes and things. And I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Gargant aesthetic. And I kind of thought this, I've looked at it, and basically you've got, he's pumped up the stomps and he's pumped up the kicks, and they're partially clothed. So it's kind of like a toddler meltdown list. They're basically just like, so you've got, because they're smashing things up and they're kicking things. He's got the strong right foot, so he's got the 3d6 kick, which is nice. And then I think really and truly in Take a Tribe, he's got the 3 megas who count as 30 models, and then that unit of 3 man crushers counts as 45 models when they're at full strength. So he's got those 4 centers of power. Yeah, I think it's solid. And like you alluded to, the Kraken Skin Sandals makes that Kraken Eater have quite a reasonable amount of output. So, and I think he's trying to farm those triumphs. He's 50 points down and he's not bought a CP, so he definitely wants a triumph there. And then every time they kill a leader with an artifact of power, they get another triumph. And those triumphs are super impactful, aren't they, for the
Gargants?
Especially
on the Gargants. So if you can get reroll saves on the Gargants, like... like, that would be the only, that's the only reason really. Like, so there's the damage and then there's the wicked artifact that you find obviously in Stompers for reroll saves. But if you can just get that from a triumph anyway and then get all the other bonus points for being in Take a Tribe, it makes a load of sense. And even the reroll hits, or the reroll, any of it really, like they're threes and threes most of the time. So they could really do with, like, they could just, yeah, they could, yeah. So it's good.
Yeah.
I wonder about the battle plans. I know I don't think you have that information, so that's fine. I just always wonder about the battle plans and how they've affected, especially with Gargants, right, in the future. Like,
I know they played Scorched Earth. I do know that much. And I think he might have rolled over some Bone Reapers in on Scorched Earth. But yeah, I don't have all the in-depth. There's just a little nod to that. But I think there were some players in there. You had Stuart playing, had Arthur, who did really well recently in the Butcher Tournament. I think Smorgon was there. There was a list with a shitload of Alapexes. So yeah, good on them. Here we go. Stuart, Scorched Earth, Focal Points, and Total Conquest.
So Focal Points is an auto win. and then Total Conquest seems interesting. So yeah, that's the one. That's the thing. Focal Points, I just think, is just Anyway.
And Total Conquest, extra point for a hero. So if they take it off somebody, they get in the flat nice, the nice 3 points. So yeah, I think maybe a couple of favourable missions. But yeah, good on Michael for getting
third. I
think
Clarky might have run a world record on points scored on Focal Points. crazy. Absolutely crazy. What can you score? You can score 3, 6, you can score 8. And then if you bonus it up with all 5, if you have all 5 with giants, you can get 13 a turn. Yeah.
Yikes. Shit mission.
Shit. Terrible mission. It used to be so good. So sad.
Yeah, so that was the one day in Geelong. So
Geelong.
Looks like a lovely place, actually. Lots of like a nice harbour and things. I haven't got a lot of information.
Oh, I think we just lost Owen for a second. But don't worry. You just calm down, Owen, if you do hear me at all. Might be my internet. So we'll just try and slow the pace. Could be you. You know, Anna could be downloading all sorts. You are back now, Owen. Welcome back to the show.
Woof. Sorry. I'll do the joke again.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
It sounds like renamed Toddler Conquest if they are behaving like children. I'm sorry again.
So upcoming events, we've got Simon Hall, who continues to put on lots of events. So he moved from Simon's Southern Scrap. He's now doing an event called Gold Con, which is in a place called Narang in Queensland. So this is Simon, obviously friend of the show. He's got 54 players already signed up, and he just has 10 tickets left. So I'm going to put a link in the chat to the Facebook page. I think he's running it through. So that's coming up on Australia Day weekend, so 23rd, 24th of Jan.
That's normally when CanCon would be.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah. So they normally do it Australia Day weekend. So, yeah, and I think the guys in Adelaide, Canberra, I think they're, no, not Canberra, I think Canberra are doing something there as well. And I'm not sure if New South Wales and Queensland are allowing travel between them right now. But either way, there's a couple of events happening over that weekend, which is fun. But Simon's a top bloke. Everyone attending will be a top bloke. All the Queenslanders are great. So like definitely an event to go to. And we'll obviously be talking about the results on the show. One of the few places events will be results will be coming out from for the next couple of months at least. So.
Yes, I think so. Yes. Moving swiftly on. But whilst the rest of us are all locked up, then we have...
As
we should be, exactly. Yeah, wear a mask.
Not because of COVID, we're just a bunch of bastards. Australia really got it reversed now, haven't they? Like, the rest of the world are like, we're locked in. And then Australia are like, we remember that from a few hundred years ago. We've fucking cracked it now. Yeah,
yeah, the worm has turned, baby. Look at us now.
You're the comics now.
So the only other thing I've got to talk about is my little event, the weekend. So, yeah, we're up to 36 players for the Fat Middle, so TTS tournament. Anyone's interested?
Is it this weekend?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's this Saturday. Yeah.
That caught me out. Because, you know, when you think January, you're like, that's in like 3 weeks. But it's not. It's not because of that Christmas. All right, so either I'm playing or we'll be good doing commentary. I'll be finding out after this. So I'll do some last-minute organising for this Saturday.
last-minute organising, that's your secret skill, isn't it? If he was like a superhero, it's like, yeah, getting shit together at the last minute. The Roblin.
Skill. Yeah. That would be my number one trait. So either I'll be playing in that event or we'll be doing coverage from that event. I'd like to do some coverage, so that might be this Saturday. We have a day of coverage from an Age of Sigmar event on TTS, but at least it'll be something and we'll have a good old laugh as a group. So if you are excited about that, please do listen in and tune in.
I've just thrown a few links in the chat there if anyone would like to join. There's also the link for the Gold Corner for any Aussie players who wanted to pick up a ticket there. But yeah, we're at 36 players and we are skimming off the best. We've talked about it previously, but we're skimming off the top performing factions. So there is going to be no Lumineth Realm Lords, no Seraphon, no Nurgle. Surprisingly, they had a really good year with all the cheap Blight Kings. There's also going to be no Seraphon, no Tzeentch, no Nurgle, and a couple of others that I can't remember. I haven't written it down, but yeah. Anyway, it's all in the pack. There's lots of people excitedly writing lists, so that'll be fun. And that's it, really. That's what's coming up.
Okay. All right. Well, that's exciting. Looking forward to events in the future, looking forward to events next year, looking forward to us. We're going to try and now there's a little bit of a weird situation. Normally I break the stats. This is how I do it. I break the stats up. Me and LLV break the stats up after the Winter FAQ. Obviously Winter FAQ is now a fable. It is a myth once spoke of in legend.
It whispers on the wind. That's what we are.
We hear rumors and follies. So I might just start it at the beginning of this year. Normally I like delineate, so 6 month period. So probably start of this new year. So we might try and start actually produce some stats as of, like, we won't do it after the first week, but like after a couple of weeks or whatever, and get all that stuff. And then we should be able to put some numbers up for you guys as well, which would be super fun. Very much looking forward to that as we open up into next year. Okay, sweet. So the awards, ladies and gentlemen, for different different sections this year. So me and Owen looked at we've each gone away on our own, and we've looked at different army books that released this year. Just remembered Tzeentch was an army book this year, literally just before the show started. I was like, oh fuck yeah.
Nothing good in there, Rob. I wouldn't worry about it, mate.
No. And so we're not gonna. I think what I'm gonna do is I might put up a tweet from the Honest Wargamer maybe later. Because one of the things I haven't done is the unit of the year. We might do unit of the year, but I think there's so many options in there. I might just like let everyone go wild on Twitter, stick it in the Discord, all that other stuff, and then we'll collate it and we'll have a chat about it next week, which will be super fun. So we've talked about the army list of the year, the commandability of the year, the spell of the year, command trait of the year, the artifact of the year, and the war scroll ability of the year. So I just think we'll do maybe the lists at the end.
Yeah,
Owen,
why not?
If that's cool with you. And we'll start with commandability of the year. Now, I think me and Owen are pretty much, we talked about this off air. I think we've gone along the same premise, which is the most impactful stuff of the year, but we might not have, so we'll see. I'm going to jump out, Owen, with the first one, if you don't mind. Big nominee, the Kevin Costner of command abilities has to be Parting Shot.
Yeah.
Right up there, like gold plated. Now, this isn't like the People's Awards. This isn't like the coolest guy, the snappiest dress. This is the like crush their opponents award. So Parting Shot. Which is basically an ability at the end of the enemy's charge phase. You can choose one skink or a chameleon skink unit holding an 18 inches of a friendly hero, and then they can shoot. And on a 4+, that unit can retreat. So you definitely get to shoot. And then, you definitely get to shoot, but on a 4+, you get to run away.
Yes, yeah. And you can't run, but if it's a turn one, they've got like a free 11 inch move out of dodge. And if it's not, then it's an 8 inch move, which generally just gets you the shit away from whatever's charged you. And it feels terrible. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this. It's pretty
Man
impactful.
Man of the year.
Yeah,
Manny, did you also put this in your top three?
It was in there, and then I decided to go for some others as well. Yeah.
So what's the next one you got?
The next one I've got. I do think that that's a pretty solid. I think the amount of games anyone who's played any against Seraphon this year, Fangs of Sotek, as we've just seen in that the Geelong tournament, Fangs of Sotek were the winning list.
And this is the command ability you get for being Fangs of Sotek.
Yeah.
So it can't be understated. Listen, I get it. You can reroll ones against certain units if you play as a Gargan. I mean, that's good. Like, don't get me wrong. Woo-hoo! But this is arguably way better.
Yeah, shooting 80 times, potentially with mortal wounds on sixes, and you're hitting on... You've got all the buffs laid on you already, and you've got a fucking Scrooge McDuck-style mountain of command points to spend. It's kind of like in the ecosystem of the Seraphon book, it's like, yeah. Whereas in other books, it's like, shit, I need to keep that CP for the other thing I want to do. Have I just gone a bit digital? I haven't gone a bit digital.
No, all good. You're good.
Cool. Sweet. My first pick is from the Lumineth Realm Lords book. Ooh. And it's from the Sire faction, and it's the Deplete Reserves. So it's okay. The double drop. You know,
double drop. It's
the double drop, baby. So basically,
so you can't use it twice on one unit. You can normally with the Aether Quartz Reserve for Lumineth, they can only use it once on a single unit per phase. Correct. So like normally each unit only has one, and per phase the whole army can only use one. However, with this command ability,
yeah, it allows you to use a second Aether Quartz, and there's no condition by where you can't use it on the same unit. So for example, you don't deploy very well with Teclis and you get alpha struck by Caradron Overlord shooting, you can go to a 2-up save rather than a 4-up save because you can use it for plus one save.
I thought it was written it was just you could use it twice and like on two, like once the phase and once on a different unit, but you can actually use it twice on the same guy.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. That's why it's got the award. That's why it's got the awards. That's why it's there.
It's the flex, like, yeah, this. It's the flex it gives you is pretty massive. Like when you're, you know, yeah, when you've got your unit of wardens and they go to a 2-up save rather than a 4-up save, and the fact you can just switch it on as and when you need to. Yeah. So yeah, Deplete Reserves would be one of my command abilities of the year.
Depletes my emotional reserve, don't that. Okay, it's my other command. My next command ability of the year was the Trove of Old One technology. Don't know.
Wow.
If that's what. Oh yeah.
Talk to me.
It's Brazilians can shoot twice.
Ah, okay, nice.
That's its name. Yeah, and that again, like I'm sorry to pick two Seraphon ones, but it's obviously also a brilliant command ability. Basically defines that sub faction. Arguably defines a meta in of itself. You know, if you can. Knowing you're like, I'll take a bunch of demon heroes. It's like, what about if you face up against these Basilidons? Like, no. So it's really good.
Yeah, it's nuts. I played against that, and over a double turn, double Basilidon, I think they put out like over 70 shots because they're 9 shots a piece, and then they shoot twice. Yeah, that's 36 shots, and then they double you, and it's 72 shots with 2 damage. It's like, wow. It basically makes the Bastillodon not really useful in any other sub-faction, does it? You just go Thunder Lizards, double shoot, and then suddenly you've got, you know, you've doubled the output, which is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the core of, and it's because it's generic command ability as well. It's not tied to a unit. You can be really clever about what you put there, how you affect it. Are you going to do a burning head near it? Like, there's so many conversations about it. But it, like Owen said, like, it's over a double turn, it's 72. But over a game, like, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot of output. And so it's massive. And it takes something that was scary into the stratosphere, ultimately. For not a lot of investiture, really. You're just there being stronger, ultimately. Like you say, mounting the command points. It's just really, really, really good. So, yeah, super strong. Super strong. Have you got a third one?
Yeah, my next one is quite a new one, but I do think that it's opened up a lot of possibilities, and we haven't seen its sort of full impact on the sort of meta. It's Worship Through Bloodshed from the new Marathi Kane War Scroll. So it gives you the holy within 24 inches a unit can shoot or fight in the hero phase. So that's where you're seeing these, you know, 20 blood. I want to say sisters, the shooty snakes. It's created all manner of different builds. You see people taking, we saw that list, the Corey's list, where he had the 20 shooty snakes and he had Lao Shan to move in the hero phase and then potentially shoot or double fight. And when you then tie it in with the Slaughter Queen's orgy of slaughter, I want to call it, she's got a command ability which allows you to fight in the hero phase. And as we know, anything that you can do, any activations you can do in the hero phase are super impactful. So yeah, Worship Through Bloodshed, I think that really opens up a lot more possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just so good, isn't it, ultimately? It gives a lot of options. I mean, it existed already before, right? It's just been clarified. I think that command ability was already on... whatever it is. It's good. Anyway, basically, that's what I'm trying to say. I don't have a third one because I forgot the Zeke book existed. So
I've got one more for you, and you know more about this than me. Yep. It's Unmatched Conquerors from the Wrath of the Everchosen book. Now, I think, strictly speaking, Wrath of the Everchosen might have come out at the back end of 2019, but it's sort of seen as a book from this year because we haven't really had an opportunity to play with it. It's Unmatched Conquerors, which is where you roll a dice for every model in a target unit, and on a 3-up, they don't count towards there. And you
that
love
is
that.
Definitely in my top three. That's my my favorite one. Yeah, that's right up there. Yes, Unmatched Conquerors from the Wrath of the Everchosen book on the Knights of the Empty Throne, isn't it? Sub-Allegiance. So good. So good. Yeah. Yeah. So good. Yeah, that's really good.
Huge impact. Yeah, on the game if you get that off.
I don't know if it has a huge impact on the meta though. Like ultimately, like it's a fun one. It's like sneaky, but I don't know if it like it'll win games. But I don't know if it defines the meta.
No. That's fair. That's fair. But it's
great.
And it's a good talking point. I figured, you know, it does something else. We've never seen anything like that before, right? Have we? So
no, we haven't. We haven't. Actually, that's why one of the command traits I've chosen is specifically because that. Not that I think it's overly good, but being able to like find stuff that's like unique is quite interesting. So obviously, don't forget we've just chosen stuff from this year. So spells, Owen.
What do you think? Do you want to call a winner there? Do you want to call a winner? Well, it's up to you.
I mean, what's our? It's got to be parting shot, right? Like,
I think,
I
think so. Yeah.
If it's like the champ ability, it's parting shot. I think is the one that's up there. It's unarguably like so good, so good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, just to shoot, like it's just your shoot. Like even if it didn't have the 4-up run away, which is brilliant, but just the shoot is enough. The 4-up and then also run away makes it just horrific. It makes your charge phase redundant, your movement phase, all the buffs you've done previously redundant. Like, in fact, actually, take away the shooting, the 4-up run away, probably it still wins.
I agree. That's a proper hobby killer, that one. Like, if you turn up with your combat army and every time you shoot, you know, you charge your opponent, then they piss off and shoot you, and then they get the turn, and then they shoot you again. It's like, fuck. Yeah, it's a real shit sandwich, that one.
That's the winner.
Yeah.
So, parting shot, congratulations. You're the winning command ability of 2020. DJ Batman, thanks for subscribing, baby. And I'm a good demon honest. Merry Christmas to you, too. Hope you're well. Right. So, spells. Have you got your first spell?
Yes. It's the... Total Eclipse.
Oh, my first spell was Total Eclipse.
Again, I've played quite a lot of Warhammer this year, obviously, admittedly, on TTS. And when they go, oh, Total Eclipse on a 10, that's just like a heartsick moment, isn't it? Because it basically just stops your army doing what it wants to do. I remember one game with Archeon Khorne and to auto-run 6 so that I got an objective. and to re-roll a double one charge on Archeon, who was 3 inches away from his target. That cost me 4 command points. So, and you know, Archeon gets you an extra one every turn anyway. So if you're not in that position, I mean, it used to be like you'd think, oh, Catacross or Curdos. Oh, you know, you nick the command point. But it's not even targeted to a specific hero. It's just every command ability you want to use from any hero in your army costs 2. And you say, okay, it's casting value 8, but when he just automatically does it on a 10, yeah. So, yeah, it's not a spell of the year because I like it. It's spell of the year because it's so impactful.
This isn't, don't imagine this is like, again, it's not a People's Choice Award. This is the Olympics. Yeah, this is like, these are the Russians just absolutely filling themselves with steroids, yeah, and then running like 100 meters in 5 seconds with blade legs. Yeah, they're just like all the way, rocket up their ass, they're going. So yeah, total eclipse, outrageous. Yeah, and good comparison, Owen. You compare it to like Curdos or Krakatroa, oh my God.
That guy.
Catacross. Stealing them, just stealing one on a 5-up. Making you definitely spend them is wild. So really strong. All right, my first one. So I already picked that with you. So we're on the same page. My first one is again Lumineth, but it's actually the Hisshian Twin Stones. So an endless spell. Again, like we've talked a lot about magic dominance all year. How dominant the magic phase is. How like people like Teclis have gone in, but actually Hisshian Twin Stones means Teclis, like it bumps an army up to like a dumb level of spellcasting army wide, and when everyone's a wizard, that's pretty oppressive because it feels very reliable when you've got other units just like rolling just a pair of bones and just like living their best life. Yeah, like a whole army just doing that is nuts, and it's so strong. And actually, we haven't seen, I don't think we've, other than like Bridge, which is obviously loads of points now, we haven't seen something that really massively affects an army. It doesn't affect, normally something affects a unit, or it affects one thing. This is army-wide, so it's just wild, right?
Yeah, and I think it gives the Lumineth player even more flexibility, because they don't need to take... like Zytrek, which is your sort of spell casting magic heavy subfaction. It allows you to take Sire, so you get your double dip Aether Quartz and the best command trait in the book, in my opinion, but more on that later. It allows you to step outside of the part of the book that really buffs the magic and get the other benefits of the book, but still have that casting buff. And it buffs all of the units who want to get off their power of Hish, right? You know, Teclis is all well and good auto casting 4 on a 10, but it's all the other units getting power of Hish, or potentially, you know, getting that the portals up to allow Teclis to do the Technado. It just gives more security and efficiency for the casting. So yeah, I agree. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, super strong. What's your next one?
Well, it's been on his War Scroll for a while, so it's not new to this year, but the book came out this year. So this is Kairos Fateweaver's Gift of Change.
Oh, it's a great spell.
Yeah. I just think it's... I've seen somebody gift... So Gift of Change, I've got the book here. And basically, it's only an 18-inch range, so you often see it put through the portal, but it allows you... Here we go. Casting value of 8. If successfully cast, pick one enemy unit within 18. The unit suffers a number of mortal wounds equal to the Gift of Change value, which starts at a flat 6. So flat 6 mortal wounds, just pick off a War Chanter, pick off a Branch Wraith, as if you'd see one of those. But, you know, pick off your 5.
You can hide, though, Owen, because you're in a forest, so you need line of sight.
Yeah, but then the Kairos flies, so he can
see. Yeah, I already knew that. I just wanted to hear you say it.
So, yeah, you do flat 6 mortal wounds, lovely jubbly, and then if something dies, then you get a little Zeench Chaos Spawn. So I've seen a game this year where... it was like a Saurus Guard unit got walloped, and which was next to Croak. And then up popped a little Zeenchian Spawn, and it did 3 wounds to Croak because it popped up right next to him. But more importantly, it will tag in a whole army of like a shooting unit. You know, talking of your Lumineth, imagine killing six sentinels in a unit of 20 and turning one of them into a spawn. And they haven't got necessarily got a great deal of output in the combat phase to free themselves. So it would then mean that Teclis has to put lots of magic into that spawn to free up the Sentinels unit to be able to shoot. Some armies just don't have the output in the hero phase to shrug off a spawn. I think I've seen it be incredibly impactful in a lot of games, picking off a whole Storm Fiend, for example, and then tagging in that Storm Fiend unit so it can't then shoot all of its stuff later in the game. Yeah, so Gift of Change is one of my spells of the year.
It's very, very good. Some comments in the chat. Volzon, thanks for resubscribing. Big love to you. Merry Christmas. Razor Wolf says, listen to this. I'm starting to think Spell Portal needs to be more points. We all agree. Or just delete it from the game. Like, does it need to be there? Like, that's what I think. But yeah, it's really, really good. I once turned an Iron Jaw into a spawn, says Angle. I think that's good. And Gavin Woodrow asks, does no one remember Demon Rift? I think the big problem when you're playing against Lumineth is it doesn't matter what you cast it on, the Texas just be like, no thank you, that's a no for you, you can't cast that spell. So it would be cool if you could do it, but you can't. So
I think you missed the second part of Angle's story. If you read, I once turned an Iron Jaw into a spawn, then the unit killed it and triggered smashing and bashing and kicked the shit out of me. So it doesn't always go right. I also had it where somebody turned my unit of Blood Reavers into a spawn, who I then killed, and it gave me the extra blood tithe, allowing Archeon to move in the hero phase and then move again and then wallop his whole army. So yes, it has to be used with caution, but if used in the right way, that Gift of Change is, yeah, solid.
Strong. Yeah. Strong. Okay. One of these spells has been on his War Scroll since inception, and in fact, actually in the last edition as well. But I've put these two spells together, although they're arguably could be in their own. So this is Celestial Deliverance and Comet's Call. Now, Celestial Deliverance in of itself actually could probably take second place to Comet's Call. Comet's Call is probably the big one. The ability to just do global mortal wounds. And this isn't unique, but it's still very, very, very strong on such a positive caster. And the Celestial Deliverance is obviously a game-winning, game-changing spell in of itself. So they both obviously exist on Lord Croak's War Scroll. Game changers in of themselves. And, you know, arguably Celestial Deliverance is only so viable because of how cheap Croak is. Once he starts to go up in points... although I've heard FAQ, he's actually halving in points because he's not good enough yet. That's the plan.
Please, Rob. I don't want to play the game anymore if that's the case. By the way, yeah, Comet's Call was my third choice, so we're on the same page here. I think you're right.
Huge. Yeah.
And because they don't get low drop, then you know your opponent gives the Seraphon player the first turn, and then they've got that reach, right?
Yeah, they can just be like, I'm just going to do some global mortal wounds. What are you going to do about that? And it's like, wow. So, like, ultimately, when you're playing against Seraphon, it's likely that most of your small support characters aren't making it into turn three, and probably almost definitely won't be around for turn four. And that's huge. They can normally do it because it's global as well. You don't have to be within like a certain range, which means you can be outside that 30-inch unbind range. So it's not even you're casting. It's I'm rolling well, and you maybe can stop it. It's just I'm just rolling well. End of conversation. So it's such a good spell, so impactful. It's meta-defining as well. Like, you always ask yourself, well, what's the point in having this or that character when it's going to just get, like, close to one-shotted in some cases? And loads of other options. Like, it's so good for loads of other little things as well. Chipping out a little 10-man screen, so maybe doing D3 Mortal Wounds into a little 10-man screen to give yourself a little space so you can whap some salamanders or some skinks in there. Like, start chipping away at units with low bravery that are holding back objectives. Tearing a monster down one tier. Over a couple of turns, like, so many options available. Like, it's just wild, right?
I think one other thing to note would be the fact that Croak tends to be on around +3 to cast, because he's got +1 from his War Scroll, +1 from the Astro, and then +1 from the Sacred Asterism. And on a 10 plus, he gets to choose D6 units. So he's got a really high chance of getting those
D6 units. So that's so annoying as well, because it's a 10 plus, not just a flat 10. Like, it's like, he also gets all the pluses, so, yeah, but massive. That's why it's in the award ceremony, right? Like, because it's just brilliant. So, Wait, but last I heard, Games Workshop was swapping Croak and the Rome Shaper engine. Every Seraphon player is taking him anyway, and he's just free for all Seraphon. Rome Shaper is now 320 points, if you want to include it. Damn it. You can fix that spell if you require line of sight, says Cold Traps, to make the mortal wounds. Interesting. Interesting. But yeah, it's super strong. It's super strong. You got any other spells you like doing?
I just wanted a kind of a special mention. I haven't gone... The three that I chose were the Eclipse, Gift of Change, and Comet's Call. But I think Darkness of the Soul from the Sinari Cathalar, her War Scroll spell, I think has to have a special mention. I watched a game where 40 Plague Monks did nothing for three turns because they just couldn't move. So, yeah, that's basically where you target a unit within 18 and... basically, they have to roll under their modified bravery to move or do anything, shoot, fight, whatever. So basically, it's like Bellicoring a unit. So if you've got low bravery, or even if you're brave, and obviously Lumineth have a significant amount of bravery debuffing mechanics, then yeah, that would be in up there for me. I've seen some really impactful uses of that, and people. Using it along with all the bravery debuffs. So yeah, Darkness of the Soul would be my other sort of honourable mention or dishonourable mention. Yeah.
Theo Pruden's put in a lovely little bit of tech in here, which I really like. Good anti-croak Comet's Call is a cursling in Hos Arcanum. Uses the free unbind turn one to cast it back, and it's unbindable. And you can cast it back. That's a nice... I really like that. That's nice. That's really good. Yeah. Right, okay. So good. So that's spells. Are we picking a top spell, Owen?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think it's between Total Eclipse and Comet's Call, but I'll give you the final judgment on that, Rob.
I think it's gotta be Total Eclipse. I mean, like, yeah, it's Total Eclipse. I mean, sometimes the mortal wounds don't really affect you. Depends on like the tempo of your army. If your army's fast enough, like, you know, Celestial Deliverance is obviously massive, but sometimes Horde armies tend to do quite well into it, so it's not overly a thing. But it could be. I mean, the other spell, there's obviously a Horde clearance spell in Seraphon as well, which you didn't talk about. So they've got that. There's that nice pivot for Croak always, in that he can be like, I'm going to do elite damage in doing multiple Celestial Deliverances. But then he's also got the Horde clearer, which is every modern unit on a 4+ takes a mortal wound. It just like halves a unit in some situations.
Stellar Tempest. It's on a 5+, but still super impactful. Yeah.
Really, really strong. Really strong. Yeah. But I think Total Eclipse is probably the one that's going to change the shape of the game. Like, it's released this year as, like, ultimately changed army lists. You can't really rely on command points. I think that's, like, it's awful, really, to, like, as a mechanic inside the game, but it's gonna massively change the shape of the game in loads of different ways. Even for that, like, you sat on that one CP, like, because you gained it that turn, then you fail that very short charge, can't do it anymore. Like, you used to be able to do it, like, you know, not looking to stack command abilities or anything like that. It's massive. I mean, it even affects, like, Eidneth, which is good. Eidneth have to really pump up their tempo early, because even stacking those command abilities in turn three, which is the only way they play, literally no other conversation, that's the only way they play Warhammer. Like, it affects them.
High skill cap.
No, that's not actually how we play. That's 100% it. Everything you say is... Yeah, so I'm going to say Total Eclipse. I think anyone disagree? I think Total Eclipse is the big one. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, wait, it posed my mind that anyone could possibly have thought Total Eclipse was anything but the most fun, anti-fun thing ever, says I agree. Hague, now... Okay, good. So, yeah, so Total Eclipse wins that. So, that's nice. They flipped it around. So, now, command traits... I've got one I don't think you'll have picked, if that's okay. Go for that first. So my first one is Primordial Commander.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yes.
But I know what it does. It's amazing, right? Hit me with it.
So it's +1 to the Undying Legions roll, which is if you take Legions of Chaos Ascendant or Loka, as we know it, you basically get 6+ DPR. This is now a 5+ DPR to unit wholly within 9 inches, I think. It might be 12. But you do it from, so it's a command trait on your general, and it's just brilliant because it means that that general itself gets a 5+ DPR. So, like, we've seen it go on Lords of Change quite often. So then you've got a Lord of Change now who's got his normal armor save and he's got a 5+ DPR. So basically he's turned into a Vermin Lord or something similar. So really good, really, really strong. Love it. I think that's a great command ability in Legion of Chaos Ascendant. I big fan.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you see that a lot on the Corruptor or something, perhaps. You saw the Corruptor pop up quite a lot in those local lists.
That was pre FAQ when you could double stack the DPRs, but you can't do that anymore. So like, I still think it's great now. I think the double stacking was good. I think it's still great now. Really interesting to see, and I like the whole Legion of Chaos Ascendant thing. Just gave you the options to move around generals a little bit. You could probably write some really like fun, like interesting mid board lists with all that involved, and just have a great time. So yeah, big fan of that. I think it's really good.
My pick for the command trait is Will of the Phantom Lord. Which is the command trait, the mandatory one from Host Duplicitous. This is the reroll all casting and unbinding holy for a Zeench Demon Wizards wholly within 9 of the bearer of this trait, which we've seen used to great effect by those Zeench casting lists, right?
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. Yeah, like so strong. Especially when they obviously can change the dice around a lot to change other stuff, they get pluses to cast. Like, it just makes that spellcasting super reliable when they want to be super reliable. Yeah, really strong. I mean, Holy Within 9's nice because it gives them like a bunker that you can try and attack. And normally, if you can get into that Zeenchian bunker with all the wizards, you can just wipe them all out because they're made of paper or feathers, actually, normally. Right into the bird's nest. That's what you are.
Yeah. Stealing all the eggs.
Hey, Hawkeye. Big love to you. I hope you're well. So, that's a great one. That's a great one. I think that's way better than Primordial Commander. So I've got a couple of others. So one is KO. So opportunistic privateers. So the general must take this. The Sky Vessel and the general in this is if you're in Barrack Mornar as well. So this is not Ziflin, this is Mornar. The Sky Vessel the general is in, it can redeploy anywhere on the board more than 9 inches from the enemy before the first battle round, but can't move or disembark that turn. So you can get quite low drops with KO, not super low, but quite low. And the ability to do that, I think, is quite interesting, especially because it's a pre-game movement. So like, it's before whoever chooses to go first, which is really big, and then the choice. So you can drop off a whole bunch of dudes out of Sky Vessel. It gives you a great opportunity to alpha that's not a spell in a bottle sort of situation. It's quite cool. That's Barrack Mornar. I think that's really strong. I don't think it's like meta-defining, but I think it's just a very strong command ability that's super fun to play with, I imagine. You could do some pressure, just put like a big boat out there. This appeared in AOS Tubbs's list, I think, earlier on in the year when he went 5-0 with this list. And then one of the things that he talked about was how hard it was to take out an Ironclad, especially with a re-rollable save from using the Triumph that he has on the boat. So, and then obviously if you stack up all the different boat effects and upgrades onto the boat, it's super strong. So yeah, I really like that one. I think it's good. Yep.
My next choice is from the Lumineth Realm Lords book. There's a bit of a pattern developing here, Rob, isn't there? And it's not been that many books out, but this is from Sire again, the sub-faction that I feel is the best. Mm-hmm. And it's Goading Arrogance. Which is essentially at the start of the combat phase, the bearer of Goading Arrogance, or the so it tends to be the Cathalar because of Teclis and Eltharion being named. Basically, they choose a unit within 6 inches, and that unit has to attack the Cathalar. But, you know, 6 inches is such a long range. Effectively, I've had it whereby Archeon gets picked and the Cathalar sat behind a screen of dudes. And basically, it means that Archeon can't fight.
Yeah.
Because he's not within 6 inches of the Cathalar. So it's a great way of shutting down those big, powerful heroes. So, you know, Frostlord on Stonehorn, Archeon. I was going to say Bloodthirster, but you'd laugh at me.
No, I mean, you brought up an interesting point. If we were doing an award for best meta pick, it would be Archeon. Like, he'd be like number one top. at the minute. I think it's one of the most. I was thinking I might do like a kind of refresher course in January. Like I might do like a short video. Like, hey, have you taken 10 months off because of COVID? Welcome back to Age of Sigmar. Here are things you need to know.
That's good. Out of the bunker, into the meta.
What does it look like out here? Well, command points are useless. Yeah, all your characters are dead on turn two, and eels are better. Welcome back. anyway. but yeah, I mean, it's a super strong command trait. So my pick for a command trait this year, which I think is interesting, but that's only because I'm also obviously 40k aware as well, is one from the Mega Gargants book. Look at me. Very acquisitive. Very acquisitive okay. is the command trait, which is you get two artifacts instead of one, and your general can carry two artifacts. So, right. Now, that in of itself isn't particularly good because the artifacts... Well, it's good, but the artifacts you can have, like, whatever, they're pretty shit. But one of the things that we've seen in 40k, or something that they've put into 40k, is you can normally buy more than one warlord trait, which is their version of command traits, and also you can buy more than one artifact as well. So they sometimes have characters running around with two warlord traits and two artifacts. So imagine a character right now in the game with two command traits and two artifacts, and try and build a bear your best version of what that might look like. And if this is something, so this is the first time I think we've seen this put into Age of Sigmar. Now, it could be wrong, but I'm pretty certain it's the first time we've seen it. And if this becomes something that, like, it makes sense. See, that makes me very excited for something like a Dispossessed book, right? Mm-hmm. Because Dispossessed obviously don't have a lot of magic, but they're such good artisans. So I love the idea that you might be able to take, like, two artifacts on, like, a Dispossessed, like, fucking character or, you know, anything like that. That sounds really fun. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good command trait or a really fun command trait this year because it gives us some indication of some fun shit we might see in the future. It's not particularly good in where it's put, but it's a cool little thing. I don't know. How would you feel about?
No, I like that. I do really like the idea of, you know, like the Build-A-Bear element in terms of, you know, having the opportunity to, you know, you could go with two artifacts. You could go Incandescent Rageblade for exploding sixes, and then you could put reroll hits on it or something from the two realm artifacts. But similarly, you could flex and go make it a real tank. So you could go play at perfect perfection, ignore minus one rend, and then the reroll saves artifact. So yeah, I do really like the opportunity to sort of build your hero to do a very specific role. I like that, but I don't think they'd be running around, Rob, because they'd be really weighed down with all this stuff, wouldn't they?
Like... Well, what if one of them was great running shoes? That could be the other artifact.
I like it. Icarus's boots or something. Or did he have wings? I don't know, I'm not the right person for that. I've got one final one if you like, Rob, and you're gonna kick yourself because you didn't choose this.
Oh, okay.
This is from but it's from that bloody Zinch book, which so yes, this is Spell Hunters from Host Arcanum. So I think we've seen again players such as Casper on the Hammer Time coverage using the Spell Hunters. So this allows D3 units who fly to have a 6-inch pre-game move. Obviously, leaning into what you were talking about there with Barrett Mornar, pre-game moves. Like if you ain't got no pre-game moves, you're missing out. Because, it allows them to have a 6-inch move. So I've seen Kairos move 6 inches forward and then get his portal's Gift of Change off. We've seen Archeon fly forward and then get to move. So it puts him up to a 20-inch move rather than a 14-inch move. 6 inches is makes quite a difference, so I hear.
Me too.
Spell Hunters from the Host Arcanum in the Zinch book would be another pick for the top command trait on my behalf,
Agreed. If you guys have just joined us, by the way, just for everyone, what we're doing is we're doing an end of the year award show. We're picking we're picking different categories and we're giving us a different, a suggestion for what we think is the pick of the year from army books only from this year. So that's what it is. We've just done command traits. Owen, do you want to pick one of these? I think you picked the best one.
I think I'll go Spell Hunters, the last one. I think really? I've seen that.
The DC move.
Yeah, I think you were going to say Will of the Phantom Lord, though, right? The re-rolling of the casting.
I think so. Yeah.
I think in the right build with all that unbinding and you know with all that fate point generation that you've seen, like I've seen you know a free unit of 10 pinks in two turns, which is pretty savage. Okay, I changed my mind. I concur.
You don't have to.
No, I mate. I think being able to change your mind on something is a show of strength. So Will of the Phantom Lord from the Host Duplicitous okay. within the Zeke book, Command Traint of the Year.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's the strongest. The one I'm most excited about is that very inquisitive command trait. I think there's lots to say there. I'm very, very pumped for what that might be in the future. But yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so artifact. It's okay. This is like I don't know what this is. This is like when Lord of the Rings made their movie. Every other movie was like, "That's cool. You get the Oscar, I guess." This is or John Wick.
Hawkeye, take that back. I have nothing to do with Boris. Owen Channeling is in a Boris Johnson with the U-turn.
Hawkeye's decided he's only going to talk shit in the chat today.
He's a spicy boy today, isn't he?
Yeah, so you're right, Hawkeye. Big love to you. Hope you're well. Merry Christmas.
Marcus Fox called it. I mean, should we come back to other honourable? Should we come back to Spell in a Bottle and we'll just do a couple of honourable mentions?
Spell in a Bottle wins other honourable mentions, yes.
What would be your first honourable mention, Rob?
Fourfold Blade.
Nice. Yeah, that's a solid pick. Love it.
Yeah. So it's a melee weapon. It's from Legion of Chaos Ascendant. Unmodified hit roll of a 5+, inflicts D3 mortal wounds. It's pretty cool. It takes a like choppy character like we saw Vermin Lord Corruptor. It's got 10 attacks. I always put it on the contorted epitome. Nailed it. Thank you. 10 points. Because he also has got a shit ton of attacks as well. So super fun. Really, really cool. Really cool. And just makes you have a bit of a blender character, which is nice again. Big fan of that.
Nice. I've seen that, on the Corruptor. Because he's got the reroll hits command ability as well. So you fish. I've seen people do, like, 20 mortal wounds in one go, which always feels good. I will go for the Phosphorite Bomblets from the Caradon Overlords book.
It's a boat effect, isn't it?
It's not. It's on a little lad. It would be great if it was on a boat, actually. But, yeah, it's on a... I believe you can only put it on a chemist. So you don't see it that often because everyone takes a spell in a bottle. But the bomblets, 6-inch range, once per game, pop out the bomblets. So he's got a big sack. Basically, pick a unit, 2+, mortal wound. Just keep fucking tossing them till you don't roll a 2+. So you could just go mental. I'm pretty sure there used to be a bone splitters artifact, which was similar, like a mask that did it. Oh, there we go. And on an Endrin Master, Marcus is saying. So yeah, basically just Oprah Winfrey the shit out of it.
Bomblet for you, bomblet for you, bomblet for you.
So yeah, that would be right up there. It's a great, great little artifact that you could just blow up a whole unit.
That's a really great one. Super fun one as well. Yeah, super fun one. All right, that's good. I like that. My next one is the Cloak of Feathers.
Yes.
You add 4 inches to the bearer's move characteristic, and you're like, that's great. And then it's like, subtract 1 from hit rolls as well. Also wild as well. And obviously, we've seen this used to great effect on Skink Chiefs on a Stegodon.
Yes.
So -1 to hit Stegodon that's moving an extra 4 inches. So very, very good.
Ooh, and they fly? And they fly? Because they're feathers?
They fly. Yeah. And it gives them fly. I was about to say that. So, I mean, great opportunity for modeling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just in of itself, 6 and wings on a Stegodon would look stupid.
Yeah. It would look ridiculous. I think that's the epitome. Like, that basically encapsulates the whole of the Seraphon book in one artifact. It's like, we're going to give them this. Oh, fuck. We'll give them this as well. And, oh, hold on. We got this going spare. We'll put that in as well. So, you know, it's like, you know, we'll just give them it all. But, yeah, mm-hmm. I think I've come up against that flying bad boy. And, he's a bit of a terror, the old flying steg.
Yeah,
he can see into my bloody wildwoods now, can't he, with his stupid bow?
<Ba-doing>. It's a great unit. A flying stegodon that's got a bow. It's really, really good. Really, really good. So, yeah, I love that. That's a great artifact. Have you got a third one?
My third one, which before we get to the obvious winner, this is from the Wrath of the Everchosen book, The Knights of the Empty Throne, The Grasping Plate. Now, I think we will see this a lot, so get ready to be grasped, because this gives the Knights of the Empty Throne hero Varangard unit a 6-inch pile-in. But it's not the shit 6-inch pile-in, it's the good one. It's activate from 6. So it gives them crazy range. They can pile in an attack twice, once per game. So it gives them a 6-inch pile-in each time. I think that 6-inch pile-in from the plate really, really pushes that Varangard build right up into the top tier. I'm sure you'd agree, Rob. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah, yeah. Really, really, really strong. But all of them, notable mentions next to the Terror of the Skies. The spell in a bottle artifact.
Yep.
You win. Congratulations. Take it away, boys. I tell you what, furiously, there's some guy, I don't know who it would be, I imagine some sort of engineer who's just like in his factory, just like it's hard-pressed to know what they're more of in the world. Spell in a bottle or those goop eggs that you get from...
I think they're running out of the glass factory over in Barrack, whatever.
I've heard that the glass that they use for a goop egg, and if you haven't researched that or know what it is, please go look up the goop eggs. The glass that they make spell in a bottle with is from the same glass. Glass. Goop glass, whatever it is. So, final category of the award show goes to War Scroll Ability of the Year. Owen, do you want to kick us off? Because that's my first one.
Yeah, I'm going to start from what would be seen more as a little bit of a fringe one, not necessarily up for winning, but certainly something that I think moving into 2021 is going to help a lot of the Eidoneth Deepkin armies, which is the Eidolon of Mathlan, Aspect of the Storm, Drenched with Hate. So he's gone from having reroll ones to wound to plus one to wound aura, which is scary good, right?
Yeah, very good. Very strong. It's a really good one. Really, really, really good one. Owen, you're going to kick yourself you didn't choose my first one.
I know what you're... Well, it's on my list. You go forget off me land, aren't you?
Get off me land. Yeah, that's my first one. Get off me land. So the Gargan kick. Whether you love it, whether you hate it, who knows, but I mean, it's a cool ability to have on the War Scroll. I don't think, like, emotionally thinking about it, I don't think I love the ability to move objectives around. I don't think that's very good inside the game. I would have preferred to seen them be able to like kick terrain maybe or something else, I don't know, but ultimately it's there, it's cool, it's going to have an effect on games. It's very unique, it's a big deal. So yeah, that's a good one. That's right up there. That's super. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to change the shape of the game. I don't know what you think.
I mean, it really does when you play Battle for the Pass or Total Commitment or any mission whereby the number of points you or your opponent can score is based on the location of that objective. So, you know, Battle for the Pass, turn one, roll a double six, yeet it right into the middle of the board. Suddenly, the Gargant player, their objective that was in their home territory isn't worth one anymore. It's worth two. And their opponent...
So I just realised on focal points, you know, when he kicked it from his own and it was worth one?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's still worth... No, it doesn't matter. That's fine.
But no, I mean, on Battle for the Pass, it's just like, you know, it's not even worth playing the game, really, if they get the kickoff, because it's suddenly your opponent can't score 4 points for getting the home objective. They could only score two because it's in the midfield. And heaven forbid they kick it into their own objective. They can basically, imagine if they had the perfect turn. Is only one per turn allowed to do it, or are they all allowed to do it?
Okay, good.
Yeah, because otherwise, imagine kicking all four objectives into your opponent and they can only score 4 points and you can get 16. I mean, you may as well quit at that point. Yeah, but get off the land. And yeah, it's pretty, yeah. Again, much like Total Eclipse, for example, it just does something that hasn't been seen in the game before. Super impactful.
Yeah, really good. Really, 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 really good. Have you got a third one? I guess it's third for you. I've got two more. Do you want me to jump on?
Yeah, jump on one because I've got one left, but I'm sure that we may both have this one. But you,
Well, this one makes me sad, and I hope you can also feel the sadness that I'm trying to emotionally transfer to you. Yeah,
okay, ready.
It's emotional transference. Okay. That is the ability.
Ah, nice. I love it. Well done. God, you even had me there.
So that is the war scroll ability that you find on the Kathalathar.
Just call her Kath.
Kath, the lady from the Lumineth Realm Lords, who is sad, the ability to make other units battle shock instead of making their own units battle shock is outrageously good. Game changing, super good. Emotional transference is what it's called. You can look it up on your phone app right now on the Age of Sigmar app. It's just 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10, the emotional transference. So yeah, really, really good. Got any thoughts on it, Owen?
Yeah, again, if you just think of it in the ecosystem of the Lumineth book overall, lots of bravery debuffs, lots of ways of like maybe one unit of 20 sentinels picking off a couple of models from a couple of units and then transferring all the battle shock onto them, and then they all just piss off. And if anyone hasn't, I did a little bit of story time with Adam Mumford and Matt Mallow the day, and I read them the lore of that ability. And she ain't no sort of like sad emo girl. Like she's a horror. The lore of it is that their opponents start off being like a bit mystified and confused, and then it then escalates into them raking out their own eyes and tearing off their skin and fighting between themselves. It's savage. It's really savage. It's huge. Another layer of horribleness that you have to fight through when you're fighting that book. And my last one, I'm not sure if you've got this, but this ties in very much with Parting Shot, is the good little Skink Star Priest and his Serpent Staff.
I don't have this. Yeah.
So wholly within 12, don't have to roll any dice, just do it because the lizard said so. Mortal wounds on sixes to wound.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, I think the major problem, if we're allowed to describe it as a problem, I think one of the major issues ultimately with that ability is the fact that it's just there's no resource. Just do. Not cast a spell. Don't do a prayer. Don't. The only highlight, I think, is that's the minion ability, right? Is that the minion ability one?
I'm not sure.
I can find out right now. Skink Star Priest, right? Let me just go for it's worth just taking a moment on it, because that's the only thing that's got me excited about that ability, because nothing else will ever make me Skink Star Priest. Serpent Staff. Oh, no, it's not. This isn't the one that's the minion ability. It's the guy with the cloak of feathers, isn't it? The Skink Priest has got a minion ability. All right, never mind. No, there's no goodness to it.
It just makes it, yeah, it just... I mean, Stuart in the chat's put book defining ability, and yeah, I mean, if you can't, it creates such a horrible decision for you that if you do have any reach and you want to reach out and kill something, it's like, do you go after the skinks or do you go after the little hero? Because even all the summoned units of skinks that you bring on, they can then get the little buff, and you know, 80 shots. They can get them plus one to hit, re-rolling ones. So they're on, I think it's fours, re-rolling ones on 80 shots. It's quite a lot of hits. And then sixes to wound. I mean, they're going to do, a unit's going to do maybe 8, 7 to 10 mortal wounds, something like that, from their shots. It's just horrible. And because there's so much skink keyword going around everywhere, they can put it on pterodons. You can put it on salamanders if you want to be a real troller. On a massive block of 40 skinks, it's just horrid.
It's a lot. No, I agree. Yeah, and it is so good. So good. My last one is new. It's new, okay. Brand new. The ability is called Entangled. From an Alapex. You shoot your shot. That's what you do. You shoot your shot and you hope. And if you get your shot off, then it means the unit that you're shooting at cannot pile in 3 inches. Brand new to the game, but ultimately massive, I think, in its effect. Not sure it's like game breaking. I don't think it's that in that category, but I think it's like very, very strong and gives another tool set to an army that really wants that tool set. you know, and is great. So yeah, really, really good. So that's found on the Alapex Sharks right in their Thiepkin, and it's the special ability from their Retarius Net Launcher.
Retarius Net Launcher.
Retarius
yeah.
Yeah, that thing.
I think it could. And I think on the subject of looking at things that will help define the meta, etc. I think that would genuinely make Fire Slayers players not want to take Fire Slayers to a tournament.
Agreed.
Because you know, tagging the end of their unit and not allowing them to pile in when they want to double pile in. Yeah, it's going to really make people have a bad day.
I like the counteracting ability though between Grasping Plate and the Net Launcher. And it's like you can't pile in, or you can't pile in 3 inches.
Oh, you just can't pile in.
Oh, never mind then. Ignore me forever. But yeah, so a lot of stuff. We need an award for that. Owen, you get to choose this War Scroll ability. What do you think? What do you think's the big one?
I think the Skink Star Priest Serpent Staff is amazing, but it's kind of like it's not like it's the one thing in the book that makes that book really strong. Whereas I think I'd like to give it to the Kraken Eater Mega Gargan. We've never seen anything like Get Off Me Land before, and it's hugely impactful on the game, and it actually is one thing that, you know, is contributing towards them putting some results together, I think. So, let's give it to Get Off Me Land.
Get off me goddamn land. Yeah, agreed with you. Absolutely. Really, really good. So that was the award ceremony. That was fun. Favorite unit of the year, Owen? What's your favorite unit of the year? You had time to off the cuff, but I'm going to say I'm going to ask the Twitch chat favorite unit of the year. That's going to be the one. It's a toughie, favorite unit of the year. Ultimately, I do like Basilodons got better. I'm not going to lie about that, but I hate having to understand how their armor save works. So that's not going to be the one for me. I think one of the things that I want, probably, I don't know. I don't know if I could choose one. Ironically or not, you guys just choose.
I'm gonna go for. It's not the flashiest choice, but I think that for 120 points, the 10. What are they called? Venari Wardens. I don't think you can go wrong with them as the core unit that you have to take that slot really nicely into the battalion. I've seen 10 Wardens, or even like the block of 30. Alpha Strike, double move, 30 Wardens, 3-inch range. I mean, there's a lot that you've seen in there that, you know, they've got D3 Mortal Wounds when they need to turn it on. And they've got 3-inch range, which is nuts on a battle line unit. They've got mortal wounds. They're a wizard. As something that you have to take, I think that I would say probably wardens up there, definitely. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's a top pick for the year. Yeah.
I was going to say Dawn Riders. I really like what they did with the Dawn Riders War Scroll, where they do extra attacks or extra damage, versus what they're fighting. I know we've seen it before, on other things, you've seen it on Namati Thralls and stuff like that. Like, what they're fighting, they kind of change their profile. But I think, doing something good with cavalry is something that they've struggled with a lot. So I think that's a good indication of stuff. But, I think that was quite good, ultimately. A lot of people in the chat have got opinions. Helgemar wants the War Shrine. Mark wants Croak. MJ Pegasus wants the Tree Lord. Bless him. Primatrol says wants the Idol of the Storm. Holy Beast wants some Mega Gargants. that's what tells you 2020 was crazy. We need to choose between Skinks and Liberators for the best unit of the year. It's like we're going back to 2016. That's what we're doing. Well, Owen, I've loved doing the Stat Center with you this year. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We haven't chosen List of the Year, Rob.
Oh, for God's sakes. Damn.
It's
yes,
more
sorry.
Like a list archetype of the year, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I've got a couple, but I mean, and it three. May even lead.
I've got three.
Okay, sweet. Well,
what's
yeah.
your first one?
First
oh,
one.
Oh no, do you want me? To... Oh, go on.
No.
After you, sir.
Okay. After you, sir. So I'm going to say we've talked about it a lot, but as an archetype, Lumineth Realm Lords, the two drop Aurelan Legion in Sire, Teclis, Cathalar, Warden Sentinels. Portal. Just solid as fuck, right? Two drop.
Solid as fuck as a list. The Lumineth list I chose was actually the 80 Sentinels. Now, I don't think it 5-0's events, but I think it's a brilliant team list.
Agreed.
Which is a different kind of like dynamic. So it's in my head because I'm like, no, it won't do great in singles. It will do good in singles. It could potentially even win a singles event, but it's not like what I would take. I would take what Owen just talked about, but in a polarized team matchup list, I think it's brilliant. I think it's brilliant's probably the wrong word, but it's a thing.
Yeah,
that's yours is a good one. Absolutely. My big pick actually this year is I love what's happening with KO. Spell in a bottle, I like that they've got some dominance, but I think that the Ziflin list isn't the right way to go, and it feels like the Spell in the Bottle is like such a linchpin for that, which is why I love AOS Tubbs's KO Mornar list from early on in the year. If you guys want to go listen to that show, that's got to be my list of the year. Like I get what is happening and why people are so pro the Ziflin list and so pro what's going on there, but I think everything that I heard Tubbsy talk about, the fact that then he talked about it and he proved it on the tabletop, went 5-0 in a very tough meta in New Zealand, lots of really good players there, so I think that's a really good KO list. And if you guys haven't listened to it, it would be my version of KO that I think I would want to play with at an event. So I think it's really, really good. So that would be my KO pick of the year, or my second, whatever. It would be one of my lists of the year.
Cool. I'm going to say, again, I'm going to avoid the what I consider to be the list. This is some more honorable mentions. I really did like seeing all of the Legion of Chaos Ascendant lists, specifically, you know, Corruptor, 12 Kadai. It really was a thing for a few months. You played it on the stream in the breakfast battles, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Speed, summoning, it can tank. Suffered for output a little bit, but when you put that fourfold blade on that Corruptor and he goes in and blends up a load of shit, and just the ability to mix and match all your demons, I just thought it opened up all manner of list writing opportunities. The Legion of Chaos Ascendant, 12 Kadai, maybe 20 pinks. You could chuck some flamers in there, maybe. With an old Gaunt Summoner who could summon a free unit of 10 pinks every turn. Which was, savage. That would be,
I also chose the version of the list that was earlier on in the year. So I think Bill King Sousa was the possibly one of the first people putting that list together. I know Pask ran it a lot as well early on in the year. So that's why I've written it down as Bill's Pask's local list. So same thing. I think that's one that stuck out to me. There's obviously some amazing archetypes. There's Chain Chose Flamers. There's Skink, the Skink build for Seraphon, that's an obvious one as well. And then we've had some standout amazing lists, like Stuart's list with the Guts. Boulderhead Ogres have done great all year as well, so they need a notable mention. What else has been kicking ass?
Blight Kings,
sadly. And now Eels, 60 Liberators redeploying, that's a whole thing. Then you have all the Sentinels, the list. You've obviously got all the Cockatrices. That's the thing, apparently, unfortunately. So there's loads. There's been loads of great lists all year. Loads and loads to mention. Did you get any more? Sorry, did I?
I think the number one list they posted in the TTS tournaments that I tracked, lots of Fangs of Sotek lists did really well. I think a core of 80 Skinks with Croak. And then everything else, and some skink, small skink heroes, and everything else sort of flavor to taste. You're always left with that Fangs of Sotek list. You put in 80 skinks, Croak, and the heroes that you need, and then you're left with 500-600 points just to flavor it up how you want. Could it be Pterodons? Could it be Sallies? Maybe you go big on the Bound Endless spells. Maybe you go for another 40 skinks to just be a true
troll.
Two lots
of 20 chameleon skinks.
Yes. Oh, don't even. Oh, I'll never forget that moment. When I was playing with fucking Nagash and Catacross in the same list, and I had about 25 models, and then he just brought down 40 camos, just did 80 shots turn one and hosed everything. I was just left with two dudes. That's more on me for taking that list. But anyway, that would be that. I have to say that would be my pick for the top, the most competitive, and the Terror of the Tabletop award goes to the Fangs of Sotek Skinks.
Agreed. agreed. I high five that, salute it, and raise it up as to be please nerf me forever. Ultimately. So yeah, been really fun. Been a really fun year. Looking forward to next year. See what you guys in the chat and everyone else in the world like kicks out as army lists. What new abilities we see. What other stuff we like. Yeah, just gonna be really good. I think ultimately. Rob's Doom Wheel list all day. Fucking love them Doom Wheels.
And we can't not mention the cockatrice list, Adam. Essentially that has now spawned into a real life army, and I think somebody else has bought it as well now. So I think it would be remiss to not mention that.
Also, like, you know, there's loads of mentions, like the Host Arcanum list with Archeon.
The new Thricefold.
There's some super fun lists, right? And like Hawkeye saying in the chat, it's been a wicked year. You know, we've all loved it. You know, it's been a couple of problems.
Yeah. I've got a new consistent cough, but I'm just ignoring it. You know,
I really hope you don't. Please stay safe.
I don't. I'm being silly.
What are our wishes for the new year in terms of new army books? I think that might be something that we might do next week. Obviously, we'll have an event result to talk about and some other stuff, but there could be some stuff for the future. Owen, because we're done for time, we're going home. Well, we're not. I'm going to do some work, but we are done. So, Owen, thanks very much.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I think it's really nice how this has developed over the year, and people seem to enjoy it. So, cool, man. Let's keep it going. And
you guys are great.
If anybody would like to join my tournament at the weekend, they'd be most welcome. Don't be scared of TTS. It's just Warhammer. I'm going to put some links in the chat there now. Bosh. Till the next time we get to ramble about toy soldiers.
Which won't be long, hopefully. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year coming up soon. Everyone look after yourselves. Don't forget to join us tonight for the Age of Sigmar show, where we'll be talking about our highlights from 2020. I imagine it'll be Nathan talking about his pants. And James saying something mean about corn. You guys have a great day. Thanks to everyone on Patreon. Thanks to everyone listening to the podcast. Please stay hydrated, drink loads of water, and thank you to everyone who joins us live. You're all great. Merry Christmas. See you soon. Goodbye. Fuck you, buddies.